welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, g'day. My name is Jonathan. It's my privilege to share with you wherever you are and wherever you're joining in with our service. I want to say I've been missing you guys. I've bumped into a few of you at different locations, different places, and it's so good to see you. Hopefully one of these days we're back together live in whatever form that it will be, and it'll be good to be celebrating together the goodness of God and God bringing us through this time. I want to talk to you today about choices, because all of us are faced with many different choices. Every day we make a myriad of choices, from the clothes we wear to the food we eat to choices that are much bigger than those simple things. The choices that we make are really quite important. Of course, they all are to a different degree, have different importance, but some are more important than others. Some become really critical, like whether you have pepper or mushroom sauce on your schnitzel, like the boys who are recording me at this moment, and I can smell it. Seriously though, I often hear parents saying, "I pray that my children make good choices." I doubt there's a person alive who's not paused to think through the implications of certain choices. Some of us have even, well, probably many of us have lost sleep over choices that we made in the past or ones that are in front of us at this moment. Somewhere along the line, someone decided that the more choices that we had, the better off we'd be. I read an article during the week as I was researching what to say to you about a group of people, and some of you will love this, two groups of people who were given different choices and different numbers of choices. So the first group of people were given the choice between six types of chocolate, and the second group of people were given the choice between 30 types of chocolate. You'd be surprised to know who came out the most satisfied. It was the group who had the choice between six types of chocolate. Sometimes we have too many choices and they actually take away from our experience. We all know that choices are complex for us, and as we seem to be emerging tentatively from COVID-19 time, or this particular time, there are many choices that are going to be needed to be made. And I read somewhere, or I heard somewhere, that we are the sum of all our choices. And there's quite a bit of truth in that, isn't there? So today we are in part four of our Thrive series. And as you know, I want to talk to you about making choices. Specifically, how do we make good choices? How do we make choices that help us so that we can thrive out of this experience? And so there are five things I want to bring to you today that help us make good choices. And mostly I'm talking about bigger, more life-changing choices. And I think that if we get the bigger ones right, it has a trickle-down effect and it helps us making smaller, everyday choices as we go on. Sometimes I hear about people who make choices, they say, well, it's time to put out a fleece. And that actually comes from Gideon, who's in the Old Testament, in the Bible, and he used a sheep's fleece to ascertain what God's mind was on a choice that he needed to make. Now, I'm not sure this is a normative example for us to follow, and I think there are far more examples in the Bible that help us make normal, everyday choices and decisions. So today I want to give you this topic, thriving in our choices, a broad going over. And then after that, for the next 2 weeks, Rod will continue our Thrive series in the area of our spiritual growth and our spiritual development. And then I'm going to come back to this choices topic when I talk about balance, thriving in balance, for 2 weeks after that. So I want to take you right now to the book of Daniel and Daniel chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up and we'll explore a little bit of this together. And I'm going to reference a few things, and there's some that I'll miss out because I'm going to move fast today. So read it again yourself and think through how Daniel made choices. Daniel is right at the back of the Old Testament, so it shouldn't be that hard to find. Some of you would know the story, but Daniel and his three friends that have been named, have been taken captive away from their home and into the city of Babylon, and they're being schooled in the ways of the royal court. And we pick up the story in chapter 1 where Daniel and his friends have made a choice. Much in the book of Daniel is about making choices. And there are a lot of things that are really helpful for us to learn from this, but I'm just going to give you 5 at this moment to pull out of the story, and I'm going to go fast. So if you're taking notes, get ready to write with your fast hand. It's not a long sermon. Lesson 1. Here it is. Don't worry about the choices that you cannot make. So let me explain. Daniel and his friends had no choice to the situation they were in. They had no choice as to the place that they were located or even the new names they were given. Let me read to you from verse 6. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. And to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. They were just given to them. They didn't have a choice. But they did have a choice over what they would eat. And that's what this whole first chapter is virtually all about. Daniel resolved not to eat the food from the king's table, but asked for a much simpler diet of vegetables and water. I can't imagine why you'd ask for that, but there you go. Now, there are a lot of things here, and they are quite complicated, and scholars have debated ad nauseum over why they would have this particular choice. But let's not concern ourselves too much as to what Daniel was doing, but in fact, that Daniel made a choice, and he decided that which he could choose over and that which he couldn't choose over. And there's a lesson here for us. Sometimes we lose a lot of energy and sleep about a choice that we can never make or that we have no power to make. And I wonder if hearing this, you're in hindsight thinking, yeah, there were some choices that I wrestled over that I couldn't actually make. Honestly, we need to move past quickly those things that we cannot change, and not waste any time mulling over those things that we have no choice over. The saying for the last few months for me has been, it is what it is. It's a funny little saying, but I've actually found it quite helpful because it helps me deal with what I have to deal and just keep moving. There are too many other things that we need to work on or to be worried about, to be concerned over choices that we can't make. So be ruthless. Only make the choices that you can make and leave the rest of it. We thrive, listen to this bit, we thrive when we unclutter our choice schedule. Lesson 2 in thriving in our choices. Let's be honest about our motivation. Now, this is a strong point in our choices. The question that comes to me is this, the one that I want to pose to you, is the choice we're making about us, or is there a different motivation? Sometimes we get our motivations all mixed up, and it does not help us make good choices. Not there's anything wrong in making a choice that suits us. Of course there's not. But we need to be clear about who the choice is for. And we make choices all the time that suit us, and that's okay. Yet sometimes our motivations are not helpful when we make good choices. Sometimes they're about us. Sometimes they're about our status or our popularity or the fact that we're actually people pleasers. Now, I'm starting to make this sound like it's all bad, but it's not all bad, and I don't want you to think that. What I want you to think is this: why am I making this choice? In other words, I'm keen for you to look into a mirror and to ask yourself, what's really going on when I make this choice? For Daniel, it's quite clear to me that his motivation was in keeping some semblance of his faith and holding on to something of his heritage. I think he felt an ownership role and a leadership role over his companions, so he was guiding them and helping them make their choices. He did it, I think, out of this motivation, to help them and to protect his identity and his heritage. He did it as a Jew and as a follower of God. So let's ask ourselves when we make a choice, what's my motivation in this? If we have mixed motivations or suppressed motivations or unresolved things that are feeding into our choice making, then I don't think we'll thrive in that at all. Here's my third thing. Lesson three in thriving in choices. Surround yourself with people who make good choices. This is, some of you will recognize this because this is good old-fashioned advice that you'd hear from your grandma or someone wise in your family, and it's very good advice. At the very least, I encourage you to have in your circle of friends several people who you can turn to for sound advice and clear thinking. I encourage you to look at the life of your friends and the results of the results of the life of the people that you hang around, because often good choices mean good, clear thinking. And you can see the results in their lives. When we make choices, we need to have clear thinking. Surround yourself with people who are like that. If you read on in the book of Daniel, especially Daniel chapter 3, and I encourage you to read on and read the whole lot of Daniel, it would take you probably 15 minutes, you'll see in chapter 3 that Daniel's friends, the three amigos, if you don't want to pronounce their names, make good choices. They were wise, but not only were they wise, they were wise men of faith. There are many people who are wise, and it's good to surround yourself with people like that who make good choices but who are not followers of Jesus. But it seems to me when you combine wisdom and following Jesus, what we have is a significant edge. It boosts and it brings more to the fore. You know, all of us have a conscience, and our conscience does help us make choices. Every human has a conscience. Whether you choose to listen to it or not is up to you. But your conscience is not necessarily godly on its own. But when it's shaped and molded and when it's influenced by the Holy Spirit, it's a great asset in making good choices. So surround yourself with people who've let God shape their life, their conscience, and their thinking. Find good people of faith to help you and influence your life. Find a good mentor figure in your life and submit your thinking to them. I do it all the time with my mentor, and it pays off big time. You don't even have to be in the same room. I ring my mentor all the time. I Zoom my mentor all the time. I Skype my mentor quite often. You will thrive when you allow godly and wise wisdom to speak into your life and influence your choices. The fourth thing, the fourth lesson in thriving in our choices, and certainly this is the most important one. Ask yourself the question, what does God say about your choice? Another way to ask this question is, what do you know about what God would think about this choice? Some of them are straight up apparent. You can see them miles away. I don't think you need to ask God, if you're considering embezzling your boss's funds, what God would think about that. I think we all know the answer to that. But if it's not as clear-cut as that, then spend a bit of time in the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. At the back of most study Bibles, there's a topical list of passages. And you can look up different topics if you're trying to understand what God thinks or says about this. So if you're wrestling with what to do with your finances or it's a financial choice, then look it up. If you're wrestling with relationship choices, then see what the Bible, see what God has to say about it. See how the people of God have acted and take your cue off them. This is what I do constantly when I'm preaching. And you'll notice I do this again and again and again. I've no doubt that Daniel and the other three were brought up knowing the will of God. They were good Jewish boys, and every good Jewish boy was educated in the ways of God. They didn't have the whole of the Bible as we have it now, but they had enough to know the mind of God. They knew what was right. You know, I don't know how many times I have to continue to say this, probably for the rest of my preaching life, but for a person who wants to follow Jesus, then you need to know Jesus. And the best way to know Jesus is to get to know him through the scriptures. Read your Bible. Make it a daily habit. It will inform your choices. If you want to thrive in making choices, then keep your mind full of what God thinks about life. And you get that primarily from the Bible. The fifth thing in thriving in our choices is this: make your choice and stick to it. What I'm saying is, don't go back, don't doubt yourself, don't doubt your choice process. If you make a mistake, great, welcome to humanity, but learn from it and move on. Lots of people find themselves stuck because they make a choice and then they second guess themselves. Now, I'm not so sure whether I should have had the mushroom sauce or the pepper sauce on my schnitzel. Don't be like that. Make a choice, be firm on it. Daniel, if you noticed, set a time period for his choice. He asked for 10 days, and the Bible says he saw it all the way through. And the end result was he'd made a good and a wise choice. Many people make a choice, but then they doubt themselves. Don't do that. Trust that you have made the right choice. Use these four things leading up to this point as indicators or as tools to help you make the right choice, and trust that God has led you. And unless you think I've forgotten about it, the great power source that wraps all this up. So this is the sixth. This is a bonus point. I didn't tell you about this one. This is extra, free of charge. The great power source comes in when we make choices, when we pray. I want to tell you something absolutely remarkable. God listens when we pray. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I've thought about it over and over again, that the King of the universe, the one who holds everything in his hands, listens to me, listens to you when we pray. I don't need to understand it to know the truth of it. So use it. Use it to make good choices and to thrive in your choice making. Let me finish with a story told about the early days of the Berlin Wall. Because hostilities flared up at one point when truckloads of rubbish, stinking garbage, were dumped from East Berlin into West Berlin. And many residents contacted the mayor of West Berlin and demanded retaliation for this offence. They wanted revenge. And the mayor responded in a unique, remarkable way. He asked the people of West Berlin to bring all the flowers that they could have to one point on one particular Saturday morning. And then they loaded all these flowers up and they dumped them back over into East Berlin. And as this shower of flowers was falling down, almost blessing East Berlin, a big banner was lifted up behind it, and written on the banner were the words, "Each of us gives what we have." My friends, we all have choices. Maybe today is your chance to choose these five things that I've said to make better choices so that you can thrive in your choice making. I have two questions for you. Two questions that you can either mull over yourself, or, as I hope some of you did, many of you did last week, to ring somebody up or have a conversation with somebody that's around you or in your house at this moment, and just to think through them and just to work through them. And the two questions are this: what has been helpful for you in making choices? That's the first one. What has been helpful for you in making choices? And the second one: if you had to put in one more point to my sermon, what would it be? If you had to put in one more point to my sermon, what would it be? Talk about those two things, and let me pray for you as you do so. Father, we thank you that you made a choice for us, that you sent your Son knowing what was going to happen, that we might have the chance to choose life. Help us to make continually good choices using the power that you've given to us, the work of your Holy Spirit, and the people around us, Lord Jesus, that we might thrive in this area in our life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.